Good morning. Welcome to the Tuesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. This week we're looking at the topic of courageous leadership and kind of following a sermon series that working on at Deer Run on a time for courage. And so probably for quite some time, we're going to be looking at different aspects of how we live with courage. And today throughout the week, it's going to look at the way we lead. And we talked a little bit yesterday about leading with generosity, the fact that we lead whether we realize it or not. Someone's following, someone's watching, someone's learning from us. Are they learning something positive or not so positive? And God's desire is that each one of us would lead. And today we're going to talk about leading with justice. And while it is a responsibility for each one of us, it's kind of a criteria for those who, you might say, officially lead, those who are elders within a church, those who lead a community, those who lead a nation. To be godly requires that we lead with justice, with the godly justice, a justice that follows his definition. Micah 3:1 says, "Listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, should you not know justice?" When asked, what is it that the Lord requires of you? The response in Scripture is to love mercy, to act justly, and to walk humbly with your God. And when we think about what that looks like, we often think, and I've talked about this in times past, about justice from the world standards, from our human standard. And so many times we kind of get that mixed up with punishment, with consequences. And so we think about a horrific murder and bringing the perpetrator to justice. And what we generally mean when we talk about that is we try them and we convict them and we punish them. And while that's an element within the concept of godly justice, of consequences for sin, for wrong behavior, God's concept of justice is restoration, of making things right. You go back through the laws in the Old Testament and how they define out the penalties and consequences. And it was always about restoring and then some. The then some was the consequences. It wasn't simply you could steal and when you got caught, you just gave it back and all was good. There was a consequence of then some. And when we think about leading with justice, for it to really be justice, for it really to be making things right, there has to be a fairness. And I think when we look at our nation, when we look at the world and people cry out for justice, what often they're crying for is some sense of fairness in life. Now, the bad news is life isn't fair. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to good people. it's a life that's filled with uncertainty and unfairness. But when he talks about leading with justice, the point is that as leaders, we don't create unfairness. Life has enough of that on its own. So James writes, and he talks about not treating people with partiality and favoritism, of giving preference to those that, well, that we benefit from. Those that James would write would say are rich, and many times in their culture and often within ours, some of those that accumulate a lot do so on the backs of others. They're the oppressors, so to speak. And it's not 100%. There are people that God has blessed greatly because of their generosity. We talked about generosity yesterday. Because of their justice, because of their fairness. But in the time specifically James was writing about, it was very clear to his audience that there was this sense of favoritism, that there were those who could get away with things that others couldn't. And it was all organized and condoned by leaders. And that's what Micah was pointing out in the verse we read a few minutes ago. The leaders in Judah, the leaders in Israel were, well, they weren't practicing justice. They weren't acting justly. There was no fairness from the leaders. It was all about serving themselves. What benefited them? And it begins, I believe, at the individual level. It begins with each one of us committing to leading with justice. And even if our sphere of leadership is one person, that we're training, we're mentoring, we're leading, we're influencing, I would guess it's probably more than that. But even if we can't use the excuse, well, I'm not a leader, this doesn't apply to me. But when we begin with ourselves and say, I will act justly. I will lead whatever sphere of influence I have to pursue justice, making things right, being fair, being honest. And not just seeking justice for others, but making things right in the way I live. Examining the wrongs that I do and that I've done, and pursuing justice in those areas. See, God's desire is that people would know Him as a God who's just. In reality, it's part of why Jesus came to the cross and died, is to satisfy making things right. There was a penalty due for sin, and well, we could pay it, but it would cost us everything. It cost us our life. And so for us to live and for us to have eternal life, the penalty would have to be paid by somebody else. But every person alive had no ability to pay it for us because, well, they owed it for themselves. And no one had enough to pay for more than themselves because it demanded all of them. And so Jesus lives that perfect life that payment is not demanded of Him for His sin. And so to satisfy justice, of making things right, and if we want to live more Christ-like, we give of ourselves, we lead from ourselves in helping others make things right, helping others make things right with one another, helping others make things right with God by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus, by allowing His blood to cleanse them just as it cleanses us, by allowing His Spirit to transform them just as it's working at transforming us. You see, the flip side of culture's view of justice is either it's seeking revenge or it's saying, leave me alone, let me do what I want. Neither of those are godly justice. They're both our own definition to satisfy our selfishness, to satisfy us. Justice is a godly attribute that we ought to lead with. And when we do so, people begin to see a God that's different than what they might have believed. When we care about others, and we care about people, whether they're like us or different from us, whether they're the unborn or whether they're the elderly or whether they're the 30-year-old addict that's struggling to figure out how life got turned so upside down. Whether it's the person in the mansion on the other side of town or if it's the person sleeping on the street with nowhere else to go. When we lead with justice, we care about all of those. And we want all of those to not only have things made right for them as much as humanly possible here on earth, we care even more that things are made right with them between them and God. Leading with justice really does say that all people matter because they matter to God. But it also calls for all people to be transformed and to be made right, to be made right with God. You spend some time today praying with me. Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. When you call us to lead with justice, you've not left us alone. You've not left us without a guide or roadmap. You've shown us because you are a God of justice. Your love for people calls all to yourself. And yet it requires a transformation in our life that because we can't do on our own, you're willing to do for us and in us. Father, as we consider what it looks like to lead with justice, may we be involved in making things right, beginning with ourselves. May we make things right between us and others. May we make things right between us and you to the extent possible from our side. We know that all of it is only possible because of Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We can't make ourselves right with you without Jesus. We can't even make ourselves fully right with one another without Jesus. So may we stay grounded in Him and in His Word and His Spirit lead us. And in whatever spheres of influence we have in leading people, may we be involved in doing so with justice and valuing every person. May you give us eyes that see people like you see people. May you give us a heart that cares for people like you care for people. And we know from your word that you accept all people where they are and you transform them into what we need to be. In doing so, you still point out sin, you deal with sin, you call us to repent of sin. And yet your justice says, I'll treat you fairly. I'll treat you right. I'll clean you up by and through the blood of Jesus. You'll be a part of the family. A joint heir, equal heir with all who come. Father, give us that type of heart, that type of longing for justice, that type of practice of justice within our own life. May the people around us today know that they matter, that they are valued, that they are loved. And may we care not simply about the causes that are important to us, not simply about the people that we like, but may we long for your justice to make things right for all people, just as it makes things right in our life. God, help us to lead that way so that Jesus is lifted up. And as we lift up Jesus, may many be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Tuesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.